You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy.
And good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Thanks for joining us. Pastors Richard and Donna here with the Marriage Minute. We're looking forward to sharing with you today. Hey, Amen. Thanks for watching. We appreciate you guys watching. We really believe that this ministry of Marriage Minute and Revival Now is touching and impacting marriages and lives who may not have hope. And so we used to live in that. We used to live in a place of no hope in our marriage. We didn't think that it was ever going to be any better than what we were seeing early on in our first probably 5 to 7 years of marriage. And so, but God changes things. Amen.
Amen.
He restores things. So we just thank you for watching, and we just hope this will be a blessing to you. We believe it will be.
Amen.
But you can watch us on a number of different platforms. We want you to like and share the broadcast with everyone, anyone that you would know that wants to just see their marriage and their life just increase and overflow with joy and abundance in every area. And so you can watch us on revivalnow.com. We've got the Revival Now app. You can watch us on the Revival Now TV app on Roku and Apple. So lots of different avenues. Of course, you can watch us on Facebook and YouTube at Revival Now Dan Steep. So there's many ways, and please like and share the broadcast. Get it out to as many people as possible.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
Hey, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about insecurities, and boy, do they play a huge role in affecting your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you're insecure, and we'll talk about it, it affects every area of your life, most specifically your walk with God, I would say, most importantly, I would say, and then also your marriage, your children, your job, your friends, everything, every relationship.
It touches every aspect of life. But most importantly, you know, as it relates to marriage, we want to really talk about how insecurities can have an impact, negative impact upon your marriage. So I've known about myself personally that I've dealt with some insecurities in my life.
Me too.
So I know how that had a negative impact on our marriage. So, you know, obviously this is an opportunity for us to kind of break it down and share it with people today.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just had this thought, you know, where do the insecurities come from? You know, and I would say it's what you were exposed to growing up. School is tough.
Mm-hmm.
You can have insecurities there. You know, things that people, most of your insecurities, I think, at least in my case, come from what people said to me.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that. Yeah.
You know, the tongue is just full of evil, and it can affect, like, I would just rather you punch me in the face than, you know, say something, because I can get over that and I'll heal, but, you know, and I'll heal from, God will heal me of the insecurities in my life and has. But those cut much deeper.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. So yeah, messaging, you know, again, we're talking about two married couples today, you know, husbands and wives, but, you know, just remember this, that, you know, if we believe, and we do believe that, you know, what we've been exposed to, what we were raised up in, other interactions we may have had in life with coaches or teachers or,
husbands or wives,
parents, whatever, what you say matters. So death and life are in the power of the tongue, the Bible says in Proverbs.
Amen.
And so it's really important. So as you're raising your children, know that you have an influence over them and into their spirit and what they actually are going to believe. And so death and life are in the power of the tongue. You either want to build up or you're going to tear down.
That's right.
And so we don't want to tear our kids down.
That's right.
So that they're living with insecurities and they can't be strong in their faith and in their walk with the Lord, as well as in their relationships, whether that's marital or just friendship. So you want your kids to have confidence, and not to say that they won't have an insecurity here or there, but God will help them overcome that.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here to talk about. Yeah. So where are we going?
That's your letter right there.
Oh, that's me.
That's you.
I'm talking about that. Okay. So, you know, insecurity, lack of confidence. Maybe there's anxiety. You're anxious about things, anxious about doing something. We're going to see that in the story that we're going to read about today. Well, actually, we're not going to read about it. We're just going to talk about it. It's a lot. Yeah, you're right. There's a lot to talk about. So you're not sure of yourself. You're just not confident in your abilities, what you can do, what you believe. So, you know, if I speak something out of my mouth and I'm not certain of that, do I really want to speak that?
Mm-hmm,
am I going to be able to really I don't want to say defend myself in such a way that somebody's going to attack you, but, you know, am I able to articulate what I believe, why I believe, and stand on that, mm-hmm. and not worry about what somebody else thinks. So,
Amen.
You know, insecurities can be a powerful negative thing against you. Everyone in some fashion or way deals with insecurities. Mm-hmm. So I know that for myself, you know that for yourself. God's brought us through all of that. And so here's what you have to ask yourself. Either I'm going to be influenced by what God says about me, mm-hmm. what his word says about me, or I'm going to be influenced by what the devil says or what other people say. Because, you know, you may not realize this or not, but God uses people. He does to see his plans fulfilled upon the earth. And God doesn't use people in a negative sense. The devil does. The devil's the one that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And so people become influenced by the devil, and they can be used as tools to come against you. One, to discourage you, to really trigger those insecurities that you may be dealing with. And so this is a very powerful thing. So we want to deal with insecurities and let that really not be the thing that slows us down or impedes our progress in any way. We want to be able to fulfill the call and the plan that God has for our lives and for our marriages. We want our marriages to be whole. We want our marriages to be powerful in every way, to be a witness to other people. And so don't let insecurities hold you back.
Amen.
Yeah.
So as Pastor Richard and I always say, the Bible is our guide. It is our life source, you know, for living, for mm-hmm. working out those things in our life. And we do have the ultimate example that we're going to share real quickly with you, because it's 1 and 2 Samuel where we read about King Saul.
Yeah.
And King Saul is probably the most insecure man that we see in the Bible, mm-hmm. I would say. So
certainly near the top. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just set the stage, right? So God was king of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He was king of Israel. Things were going great. Everything, obviously, if God's your king, mm-hmm. it's going great. So what happened? The people got restless, and they weren't happy, and they were discontent, and they wanted a human king. So they asked God to send them a human king. So what God does, he says, I can do that. But this is what's going to happen. He literally laid it out. This is going to come upon you. 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 But God is a gentleman. He will give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the people were pleading to him, no, we want a human king like everybody else around us. All these nations around us have human kings. We want a human king.
So there was the prophet. If I could just add in, there was the prophet Samuel.
Yeah.
And God was using him to be his mouthpiece, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And so with Samuel, you know, he's having this dialogue with God saying, you know, this is what the people are asking for. Do you really want? And God said, yeah, if this is what they want, just you need to give it to them. But also warn them, like you said, mm-hmm. about here are all the things
laid
that are going
to
happen. Yeah, here are all the things that this king is going to do to you once you come under his rule and reign. And so I'm going to take 10% of your animals. I'm going to take 10% of your harvest. I'm going to use your children in war. I'm going to have them become servants of mine. Just everything imaginable, he laid that all out there. And the people basically said, yeah, we understand that could happen, but we want a king anyway. So they wanted to be like the rest of the world, because all
that's a key point, right?
You know,
there.
All the surrounding nations that they saw, mm-hmm. even the smaller nations, you know, they had kings. And so they wanted to be like everybody else. Yeah.
And so what they did was they stepped outside the protection of God.
Yeah.
They made it, which is what we do. We make the choice. It's a choice to step outside,
mm-hmm.
you know. So now their lives were not protected. Their marriages were not protected. Their children were not protected. All because they were looking to the world for a solution for what they thought was they needed an answer. So God says, okay. Then he gave them King Saul. So that's what you read in 1 and 2 Samuel is about King Saul and David, mm-hmm. and all of that.
Yeah.
And what happened and how in the end God regretted doing that. But he gives us the desires of our heart, even if in this case he knew, God knew, a father knows, a mother knows, you know, that this is not good for you. This is not good for my child, but they're going to choose it anyway.
I don't know if this is a maybe a slight correction or not. And I'm not trying to correct you, but just thinking about, like, does God really give us the evil things? I'm just thinking to myself, because what I'm wondering is it really God, or is it no? It's not God's will now. It's my will. So I'm choosing to do my own thing now.
I think at that point you would say God would allow it.
Yeah.
I would say. Yeah. Because God is all good. Mm-hmm. You know, he gives us good things. Mm-hmm. But when we are in rebellion, and like Saul was, and we'll go through some characteristics here to help you identify if you are dealing with insecurity, I think that he will allow things to happen.
Yeah.
Because they were basically just telling him, I don't need you anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, so what do you do?
Well,
you know,
they had proven that with, you know, because they kept worshiping other
idols,
false gods and things like that. And he said, okay, this is what they've been doing for years now. I've brought them out of Egypt. I showed them great signs of my power to save them and help them. And,
you know, we always talk about God is a God of remembrance. He brings us to remembrance of all the things that he has done, mm-hmm. is doing, and will do for us, so that we are so grateful. So we live a humble life, because it's not us that's doing all of this. God is doing all of this for us, right?
Yeah.
And so he brings us into remembrance. And every time in the Bible, when you see things like this happening, they're like, they've just totally forgotten and choosing to forget to remember, like he brought them out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. He parted the Red Sea. You know, all of that. He fed them in the desert.
Right.
Their clothes and sandals didn't
provided
wear out.
Water in the desert. Food
you know,
in the desert.
They forgot all that.
Yeah.
And it's like this rebellious teenager, you know, spirit within these people that are like, I don't, you know, whether they forgot or they just choose to, like, not care is what's happening.
Right.
Boy, that's aggravating.
Right.
Not that I haven't been there, but God is a God of remembrance, and he wants to... us to remember all of those things that he's done for us, not in a boasting way, not in like, hey, I'm God and look what I've done, but in a way that brings us into gratefulness and thankfulness and appreciation, you know, because we are not all that, you know, we are not king of our lives. We should not be ruler of our lives. So let me
say something about King Saul. So Saul, you know, Samuel, the prophet Samuel said, you're going to become king. And at some point we're going to have like a public ceremony. You know, one, he did this in private first and told him that was going to be the case. You're going to become king. And then there's going to be a public thing to make make that known to all the people of Israel. And so that day came, and they were asking for Saul to come up so he could be anointed by Samuel. And he was hiding. If you read the story in First Samuel, but if you read that in First Samuel, talking about Saul's life, said he was hiding in the baggage or hiding in some stuff.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And they couldn't find him. And they finally did
and
brought him
forward.
So this is one thing where it talks about Saul's insecurities. He didn't trust enough in God. God's the one that said, you will be the king. Mm-hmm. I've called you to be this. And so instead of trusting God, no, he was going to hide because he was insecure about what God was going to do through him. He thought he had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he's striving. And so now he's hiding where people can't find him because he was too insecure to really step into that role that God had called him to be in. Yeah. So
oh my gosh, you can read the story and like laugh about it.
Get out
of the luggage.
But that's what we all deal with.
It is.
We deal with our insecurities. And so this is why we're talking about this today.
So this will lead us into, so these seven characteristics that we want you to, you know, really see if you identify with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, each of these characteristics Saul dealt with. Each of these characteristics Saul was manifest in his life.
Yeah.
And these are insecurities that are huge that will affect your marriage.
No doubt.
There's no hiding in the luggage. There's no hiding in a basket and trying to not live your life. You can't stuff insecurities down. They just bubble up and come out.
Yeah.
So let's start with the first one.
Yeah. So the first
one.
How
do we know?
Well, you're unteachable and unapproachable. So Proverbs chapter 26, verse 12 says this. This is from the Amplified. It says, do you see a man who is unteachable and wise in his own eyes and full of self-conceit? There is more hope for a fool than for him. So That was the thing with Saul. He was unteachable. He was unapproachable because he didn't want to listen to anybody else. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to listen to anybody else's advice. One example that I know we're going to talk about in another point, but just to bring it up because it's kind of fresh in my mind. But so God, when Saul was king, he had asked him to go destroy the Amalekite people, mm-hmm. all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he didn't do that. He left the king, everything, women, children, the king, the animals, everything that was related to the Amalekite people, because the Amalekite people was violent, was abusive, was killing the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. So mm-hmm. God said, I want you to go destroy them, completely wipe them out. Everything that they're associated with, wipe them out. Well, Saul didn't do that. He didn't even listen to God.
Mm-mm. No.
And so he didn't follow through on what God had asked him to do. And that could have been because of his men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there's just the whole insecurity about, well, my men need to be, you know, they need to eat and have food and things like that. So we're going to keep some of the sheep and some of the goats and whatever. And he wanted to parade around the Amalekite king as a trophy mm-hmm. to everybody. Mm-hmm. But ultimately what happens is that he wasn't even allowing God to teach him to do exactly what he called him to do.
He was completely unteachable and unapproachable.
Yeah.
So think about that in your marriage. You know, I was that way. Like, you know, you couldn't come to me and say, hey, Donna, you're acting this way.
Mm-hmm.
The hand would go up. I wouldn't listen. You know, I understand now that that was insecurity and fear and all of that working within me, because, you know, as we have learned and I have learned that when somebody corrected me, that meant that I wasn't good enough, you didn't love me and things like that. And we've talked about that before. So are you unapproachable? Are you unteachable? You know, that is a huge hindrance. If it's hindering your life in your marriage, it's hindering your walk with God.
Yeah.
Are you unteachable or unapproachable? You just have to, and if you don't know, ask your spouse. Please humble yourself and ask your spouse to give you, you know, an honest answer, or your best friend or your kids or whatever. So somebody is seeing something in your life. And if you're not, that's great. That's awesome.
Well, before we move on to the next point that you talk about, I remember that, you know, you were my enemy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a trust issue there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't trust anybody. So I didn't even trust my wife, even though I was married to her for a number of years. And so I was resistant to her teaching me anything because I didn't believe that she had my best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't true. Mm-hmm. That's just what I believed. You know, that was an internal thing. That was my mindset about it. So that had to be dealt with in order for my wife, you know, to be able to speak into my life and say, I'm seeing this happening in your life. She's supposed to be a blind spot detector for me, just like your car has in it, right? She's supposed to be able to see things and help me to grow. We're supposed to sharpen one another. The Bible talks about iron sharpens iron. So as she grows in the Lord and I grow in the Lord, we're supposed to help one another to grow, right? But if I resist that and I believe that she's my enemy, then I'm actually, you know, pushing away what God is actually trying to do through her for me and to make my life actually better, our marriage better.
That's right.
So anyway, that's, I wanted to bring that up about myself.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. So the second thing is jealousy and being envious. So when David killed Goliath, the Israelites were singing, Israel.
Singing.
So they were saying Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s.
Right.
And at that point, it switched for Saul, because then jealousy and envy came into play.
Right. He wasn't the one at the top.
He wasn't top dog, at least in his eyes. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know. You know, they were just grateful that Goliath was dead and they were singing a song to David, you know. But so when you have jealousy and envy in your heart, let's just say, it comes out in your relationship with your spouse, because now you're suspicious of everything, right? You are, you know, you don't trust anything that, you know, or you want, I'm jealous of you and the friendships that you have. Why don't you spend that kind of time with me? You know, or you're envious of things that in his life, I'm just really talking with your spouse, but it can be any relationship.
Right.
That causes you to be suspicious And I mean, you feel it, you know, when you're jealous, you know, when you're operating in envy, that little green, giant, I'll call it.
And it even goes back to, I think what you said earlier is like, you know, you can have the question in your mind, like, why am I not good enough?
Exactly.
You know, everybody is, you know, praising them or whatever. You can't, mm-hmm. I can't even have joy for mm-hmm. you being recognized for the good things that you're doing. Exactly. Right?
So what jealousy and envy does is it takes your focus off of God and it puts it on yourself. It turns it inward.
Yeah.
Which is not a good thing. It so let's not. Just go ahead and go on to three.
Blame transfer. So that's really that's really manipulation. Mm-hmm. It's manipulation. It's you know, you're a scapegoat. You don't want to take responsibility for anything. Mm-hmm. It's everyone else's fault. I mean, just take Adam and Eve as an example, mm-hmm. right? When Eve took the fruit from the forbidden tree, right, and she ate and she gave some to Adam, you know, their eyes were open and they realized that they had knowledge of good and evil mm-hmm. at that point. They knew that they were naked, so they had, you know, the Lord showed up in the garden. And they hid from God. And so God says, hey, where are you guys? And Adam says, well, you know, we're naked. He goes, well, who told you you were naked? He said, did you eat from that tree? And so this is what Adam says to God, right? Blame shifting, right? Uh-huh. Blame transfer.
Blame transfer.
He says to God, the woman you gave me.
Right.
The woman you gave me.
Oh, he's blaming God now.
Yeah, he was blaming God. The woman you gave me gave me that fruit.
She did that.
I don't have any responsibility in that. No, she gave it to you. You made her. Why did you do that?
I think that is a huge indication in your life. That is one that is very overt. Yeah. A characteristic blame transfer. If you are finding that everybody else is at fault.
Yeah, including your spouse.
Including your spouse, including your kids, including God, including your pastor. If in every situation where you are dealing with something, if all of your focus is outward and you are blaming, you know, the babysitter, your work, your boss, your coworkers, your husband, that is a huge indicator that you have this going on in your life. And we don't say that to shame you. We say that to say, hey, let's take a look
at this.
There's
some freedom coming.
There's some freedom. When you cannot, in any situation, see where your responsibility is in it, then that's a big indicator.
I think this, it just keeps coming back to me that this, the same, I think, root mindset keeps coming back that I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. I think because I can't take responsibility for something or I'm going to shift the blame onto someone else, I think there's a root issue there that for people that says, I'm not good enough.
No, so when I'm not a good person.
Yeah, when someone tries to blame me or something like that, I think that's just almost the trigger that says, I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
So I got to shift the blame somewhere else. It's not me. There's nothing wrong with me.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's pushing up.
So we're pushing up, obviously, inner vows and bitterroot judgments.
Which we talked about in the past.
Number four characteristic is control. Something that I dealt with, huge for me. I actually, and we've talked about this before, had to have people that I trusted. There was maybe two or three people that I trusted to tell me when I was behaving in control. And I'm not kidding when I tell you it was 100% of the time when they first started making me aware of it. You know, I felt like I couldn't say anything, do anything, like body language. I just felt like it was just so insurmountable at that time.
I can only imagine. I mean, because I know everybody out there has something that you struggle with. And you're like, is there any way for me to break free from this thing? And I know that's how you had to feel.
That's exactly. And that's where you have to trust God that He has a plan for you. You know, did I trust what they were saying, those closest to me? I had to, but I had to choose to, you know, and I had to trust that there was better on the other side, because if they're pointing out to me that I am functioning in control, so because anything that you can't control, anything that I couldn't control, I was set out to destroy it. Whether that meant I'm cutting off this relationship, whether that meant I'm getting more and more controlling with what's going on around me in my life, it's just overwhelming. It's mm-hmm. debilitating.
Well, and it's basically saying, like, I can't trust God. I know you're saying this.
Yeah.
I can't trust God, so I have to trust what I can do.
Yeah, I'm better at handling my life than God is.
Yeah, so at that point, if you're going to be the person that's in control, then you're only going to be able to get so far in your life based upon what you can control.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You never can go beyond. Why? Because there's things that God's called us in our marriage to do, individually to do, that is God-sized dreams that we can't do if we're operating in control.
And we read about this in 1 and 2 Samuel, where how many times did Saul try to kill David?
Yeah,
he exactly. set out to destroy him. Mm-hmm. The one person that brought Goliath down and brought the Israelites victory, he set out to destroy.
Right, yeah. Right. Because, you know, he didn't want to give up his kingship. Even though Samuel had told him, because you didn't obey the Lord in killing all the Amalekites like I told you to do, mm-hmm. the kingship, God is taking that anointing off of
that's
you.
Right.
And he
that's
said,
right.
I found a man that's after my own heart,
yes.
speaking on God's behalf, yeah. right? So David was going to become the new king and anointed king. Saul didn't want that to happen.
So at that point, he blame shifts.
He blame shifts.
For, well, it's all David's fault. Now
so
I've got to have to destroy
David.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to use that, which leads us into our next one called anger and emotional instability.
That's say that one more time.
Anger and emotional instability. We just basically aren't mature enough on how to handle our emotions and or the circumstances
that's
that
right.
come at us.
That's right.
right. Because, you know, these two kind of are linked together. The control that mm-hmm. you just talked about
oh, yeah. so
and
much.
The anger and the emotional instability are linked together because sometimes, you know, I know this was for you. If you wanted to get a certain thing, you knew that you could get angry.
Oh, yeah.
And that would manipulate.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that you would ultimately
and honestly,
get
I don't know that I consciously
I
thought about
you
that.
You didn't. It was,
you know,
just,
it was
just
what I saw and it's what I...
It's just what you saw and what you did. It was behavioral. So, you know, some of those things we learn from our past. And so, but that's not the proper response. That's not the way that God wants us. He wants us to trust and rely upon him. And when we do and say, look, Lord, I trust you for the outcome. Help me to do the right thing. Help me to say the right thing. Help me to be patient. Help me to control my anger. Don't let me
yeah.
sin in my anger.
It's really okay to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. I mean, look at Jesus. I mean, Jesus
yeah.
was being completely, you know,
unjustly
crucified and projected as a criminal, right? Mm-hmm. And yet when he was asked the questions by the Pharisees and the religious leaders, he kept his mouth shut.
He did.
Because he knew what the plan ultimately was. Mm-hmm. He was allowing God to fulfill the thing that needed to be fulfilled in his life.
That's
and
right.
it's the same for you and I.
Yeah.
We have to trust God just like Jesus did, knowing that he was going to the cross, being persecuted for something that he wasn't a criminal for. We have to step back and allow God. Because the Bible says in the Old Testament, the battle is the Lord. So
mm-hmm.
we have to come to a place where we understand that I don't have to be angry. I don't have to be, you know, emotionally unstable.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have to be controlling. I have to trust in the Lord. Yes, I want the Lord to use me to speak wisdom in a given situation when I'm in an argument with my spouse or whatever. Give me the wisdom to see beyond the surface level. Just like,
so,
can I just share
yeah,
this? So
hopefully.
Just like I was feeling in my spirit just a moment ago that I feel like we're pushing up with these 7 points that we're talking about Saul's spirit. The thing that I was sensing and feeling is that we're dealing with basically a mindset that says, I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're in an argument with your spouse and you're discussing things, you need to be present with the Lord in those discussions. As hard as that is, you might say, how do I do that? Well, first you have to have the Holy Spirit in your life. When you give your life to Christ, he becomes a part
Amen.
Of who you are, and
Amen.
He's the one that teaches and guides you. So you'll get revelation from the Lord about really what's the deeper issue at play here. And then that's where you have to speak from, not from the surface level
mm-hmm.
argument that's taking place about nobody did the dishes today or whatever.
Right.
There's a bigger issue behind nobody did the dishes today or I didn't do my chores today. There's something bigger
yeah.
than that, and you have to see beyond
it.
You do.
And a big indicator is if your spouse has something they need to say to you, what is your response?
Right.
What's your response? Do you cry and roll up in a ball? That's still not good. Do you use anger to control and manipulate?
Yeah.
So if you're not able to stand there and hear what they have to say and have a mature conversation, there's work that needs to be done.
So when you're, one of the things that's come to my mind, when you deal with anger and emotional instability, you're allowing the devil to counsel you.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we've talked about this in past episodes where, you know, when you go to bed on anger, you're not supposed to go to bed on anger. But when you go to bed on anger, you're allowing the devil at that moment all night long to counsel you about what your spouse is doing or not doing and why you should hate them and why you should be against them. you're just receiving counsel from the devil.
And then you wake up with 10 more things being mad at your spouse about.
Exactly. So it's important to get to the root, discuss the issue, and get to a level of forgiveness with each other so that you can move forward.
So another sign, I keep forgetting that word, that you are dealing with insecurities is unbelief and spiritual compromise. What did Saul do? Saul consulted a witch. He consulted a medium. Believers, if you call yourself a child of God, you want nothing to do with horoscopes, the astrology, Ouija boards, what are magic eight
tarot
balls,
cards,
tarot cards,
number readings.
You turn from those completely. Like, that was one of the first things, even though I think I read my horoscope just in passing in the papers back in the day. But you don't even want to do that because, you know, God is who I turn to.
Right.
God is who I look to for direction in my life, not the stars. God is greater than the stars, not some seance that you're opening yourself up to the devil. And so that's what happened is that Saul consulted a medium who then, I would say, called up whatever vision for Saul because he was looking to that and he was expecting that to happen.
Right.
And so, you know, that happened in 1 Samuel 28:7-8. And what we're saying is if you are operating in unbelief and you are dabbling in reading your horoscope for every day, or you are these stupid little Facebook, like, take this test to see, you know, what your spirit name is or what your spirit animal is. That's all of the devil. That's witchcraft stuff. And you need to step away from that, and you need to turn from that, because what's happening is the devil has got a hold. You're opening. There's a crack in your foundation, and the devil's having a heyday with it.
Absolutely. Yeah, we want to stay away from that.
Absolutely.
Because God forbids us to get into mediums, the occult, all those kinds of things, and he forbids it because he understands God is a loving God.
Yes.
Okay, let's just be clear about it. God is a loving God. He doesn't want bad for you. He only wants good for you. And for the longest time, I believed that God was against me, not for me, but that's not true. I just had a wrong mindset about who my Father is
in
heaven.
Amen.
So I'm telling you that if God's saying, I want you to stay away from mediums, I want you to stay away from, you know,
sorcerers,
mediums,
fortune tellers.
Thank you. That was the word I was looking for. Fortune tellers and whatever.
I was grabbing too.
Yeah, I couldn't get it in my head. So stay away from those things. Why? Because God tells you to, and because God knows that if you go down that road, as Donna has already said, Pastor Donna has already said, you're opening yourself up for the demonic. That's all that is. That's a portal for the demonic to come in and have a presence in your life, and you don't want to invite the devil into your life. So it's always important. Always.
Always.
Seek God. Seek God for the end. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things that you're looking for and needing will be added to you. So
absolutely.
You just have to be patient. We all have problems with patience, I think. Mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. Everybody does. But you have to be patient to wait on God's answer.
Amen.
Because he has the right answer, and it's the right answer for you to prosper in every area of your life, including your marriage.
This is
marriage.
Where the scripture came to me, resist the devil and he will flee.
Yeah.
This is a very real and practical thing you can do is, you know, I'm resisting the devil because I'm not going to read the horoscope. I'm not going to consult tarot cards. I'm not going to get out my Ouija board. You're resisting the devil and, quite frankly, rebuke him, and he will flee. He will flee.
So the last and final point we want to talk about, number 7, is fear of man. So you can't worry about what other people think.
That's a big one.
You know, if you have the fear of man, you have the fear of what other people think, you have to have their approval to do something, you're going to be stuck. You can't progress in anything that you do in your marriage and whatever you do, work. You can't make any kind of forward progress if you're always worrying about what other people think. When you get direction from the Lord, and this is, again, why it's important to have a relationship with the Lord, and he wants to give you direction for your life, you have to ask him. Ask and you shall receive, the word says.
Amen.
And so when you do, God says, I will give it to you. I will show you. If your heart's pure and your motives are right, I'm going to show you what I want you to do. And when you have that revelation, that brings confidence. That doesn't bring insecurity. Mm-hmm. So when you hear something from the Lord for your life, for your marriage, you're going to stand on it. I know there was a time in our life in marriage where I had to do a very hard thing. I had to tell some things from my past to Donna that I wasn't really excited about doing. And so, but the Lord told me, I'm not going to say specifically what it was, but the Lord told me specifically what I needed to do, and I did it. Mm-hmm. Now, I was scared, but I still had peace in my heart that even though I didn't want to do it, I did it because the Lord spoke to me. He gave me a revelation about what to do, and it gave me confidence. It didn't mean we weren't going to go through some troubled times in our marriage and work through some things, but what it did do is it gave me assurance that I'm going to see the other side of this thing. Mm-hmm. My marriage is going to be restored. That's Amen. The confidence that it gave me. So when you hear something from the Lord for your life and for your marriage, yeah, it might be scary to walk through that thing, but I'm telling you, if God said do it, you can be assured that it's going to be right on the other side once you come through the thing. You just have to have patience and mm-hmm. endure with the Lord, and He's going to do that. So you don't Amen. Want fear to hold you back. Just like it did with Saul. Saul was fearful of people and things, and he didn't want to disappoint.
Which is why he didn't annihilate the Amalekites.
Exactly. So he did things because he was worried about what his army would think, what his men would think, and what the people of Israel would think. And so he wasn't being led by the Lord and following what the Lord said to do. Mm-hmm. He was based upon, his decisions were based upon fearing what people thought.
Which when we think about back to where you were saying, you know, they were having a ceremony for him and he was hiding.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like he dealt with that from the get-go.
So he had this character flaw from the very beginning. Yeah. And so, look, we're not, like Donna said earlier, we're not here to condemn anybody. Mm-hmm. We're not here to make you feel bad. All we're doing is trying to bring up something that actually the Lord wants to deal with in your life. And he wants you to be free from it, and he wants your marriage to be whole.
Amen.
He wants it to be joyful. He wants it to be everything that you've dreamed that your marriage was going to be. And he can do it. You just have to trust him.
Amen. So you're either going to live your life completely insecure, which is no place to be, because right. now you're really in hand-in-hand with the enemy. So he's going to have a heyday in your life. So you're going to be completely insecure. You're going to have a false security, which we call a false peace.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people walk around with false peace, false security, when in fact everything under the surface is a mess. And then, or you're going to be secure in God. And that's what we're saying. Yes, do
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But the only true answer for insecurity is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the one that took away my insecurities. He is the one that helped me see who I am in him. He is the one that wiped my slate clean. He is the one that helped me have a new start and a new beginning. I'm going to cry about that. Because of him and what he did on the cross for me, I am who I am today. And it is a stark contrast to who I was. And I think you could probably say the same thing.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Without me accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, accepting him into my heart and into my life to change me and for me to be humbled, for me to humble myself, because that's a choice.
Yeah.
And allow him to strip me down and use whoever in my life that he needed to strip me down and to reform me into a solid foundation. I had to be open to giving my life to him. And without that, I wouldn't be who I am today. We may not even have been together. You know, we would have been another one of those statistics. And I thank God every day that didn't happen.
Amen.
So,
yeah.
Will you give your life to Jesus? Because like we're saying, that is the only answer is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's it.
So we're going to offer up a prayer of salvation. And if you repeat this prayer from a place of sincerity in your heart, God knows your heart, it's not what Pastor Donna and Richard think, you will be saved. Mm-hmm. So when you pray this prayer, you have assurance. You have absolute assurance from God's word that you are saved and you will live eternally in heaven with Jesus.
Amen.
So let's close our eyes. You guys are out there in video land or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father,
I admit that I have sinned.
I admit that I've sinned.
I believe Jesus died for my sin.
I believe that Jesus died for my sin.
And he rose from the grave.
And he rose from the grave.
To give me victory over sin and death.
To give me victory over sin and death.
I confess my sinfulness.
I confess my sinfulness.
I repent.
I repent.
Please forgive me of my sin.
Please forgive me of my sin.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And make me a new person in Jesus.
Make me a new person in Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So if you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God.
Amen.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Will be saved.
When you prayed that prayer and you called on, because you prayed that prayer, did you call on the name of Jesus? Did you repeat that after me with sincerity in your heart? And if you did, you, my friend, my brother and sister in Christ, are saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're born again. You are saved from this moment forward. And you're on your way to heaven because you have Jesus in your heart.
Yeah.
And so, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, if you said that prayer and we believe that you did, you mean business with God. God's going to do business with you.
Amen.
And so God, from this point forward, is going to continue to help you and transform your life.
Amen.
And so there is a, if you go to our website at revivalnow.com, mm-hmm. there's a big red button that says, I just got saved. If you would click that, it'll take you to a page where you can fill out your personal information. Be assured that we're not going to spam you with a bunch of emails and mass market you with anything. All we simply want to do is have the opportunity to pray for you and the decision that you made, and also send you some resources and materials, a booklet about, you know, becoming a new Christian.
Amen.
And so we just want to help you in that start to your Christian life and decision that you just made.
Amen.
There's also some video materials on the website.
Yeah.
There's 4 short videos. I think they're less than, you know, 8 to 10 minutes each. But it's also going to be a great resource to you just to help you understand, mm-hmm. again, the decision you just made. But we encourage you to get plugged into a local church, a Bible-believing church, because you need to continue to be discipled. That's a very important next step.
That's
So we want you to get plugged into a local church, talk to friends, talk to family, just do research yourself about churches in your area that really preach the Word of God, and get connected to a local body of church that mm-hmm. they can continue to encourage you and to build up your faith in the Word of God. That's a very
Amen.
Important next step.
So we talked about 7 characteristics. I want you guys to take time from this week to next to kind of flow through those, understand, is that at work in my life? And then next week, we're going to talk about 3 steps, just 3 simple steps to deal with those insecurities in your life.
Amen.
So thank you for joining us. We love you all. God
love
bless you,
guys. You. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com. And send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.